I like silence. At Grace College, I had to take a speech class. I hated it. And so one of my one of the themes I had is you teach on your hobby. My hobby was raising pigs at that time. So I introduced it. My hobby is raising hogs. These kids laughed and laughed. And then I talked about famous hogs in the past. Pigman Freud and Hamlet and all these things. And they laughed. And I was scared to death, and the teacher gave me a good grade because he said the look on your face was helpful with the humor. I was scared to death. And then at the end of the year, you had to give a 40-minute lecture to the whole class. I dreaded it. Fortunately, we ran out of time. I only had to do it to the teacher. So, whew. So these are just some things I've learned through the years, and this is a lost and dying art. It really is in this age, and so it's very necessary. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I do ask you to help us to be able to understand them, to give them out to others. When you open up a door, to help us, each and every one of us, to say something, to give what we've learned or understand, I pray you'd help us be able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy 2, I have preached over 12,000 times. I kind of keep track. Anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes. So in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So that was Paul saying that to Timothy, and he didn't have Timothy start a big college so that they could have a factory. You know, not against that idea to have a big college, but that the tendency is it develops into a factory where the young folks don't maintain their own personality. Okay, so if a person wants to feel led to do this, faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, because when you open up your mouth, people are going to respond. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Okay, and that one is the right preparation of writing up a lesson or giving out a Bible truth. There's a right way and a wrong way, and the vast majority of preachers do it the wrong way. I plan on doing that one next week. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits, and then consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay, that's the goal. Your personal understanding first, and then people that happen to listen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5. Bible believers have something true to give to others. The whole idea of the political correctness movement is to close the mouth of believers. That is the intent. They do not want us to say anything. And so the thing is the Lord wants us to say something, and you will discover, as I've discovered, that real learning accelerates when you teach. That's when real learning accelerates. If it doesn't benefit anybody else, it benefits me. Okay, and you also discover your lack of understanding of a subject when you try to speak about it, or especially write about it. Okay, try to write about a subject that you think you understand, and after you write about it, give it to somebody to say, does that make any sense to you? You really understand that you don't understand a topic until you try to write about it. Okay, and that's where real learning comes in play. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? I like the way Jordan Peterson puts it. Has anybody listened to some of Jordan Peterson? Okay, has anybody listened to some of Larry Elder? Just you, Jace? Larry Elder is another guy you want to look up on YouTube. Very good. Black man in California. Very, very articulate. You've probably heard him. Yeah, very, very good man to listen to. Okay, and so, but the way Jordan Peterson puts it, and I really like this, and it realizes, okay, you and I are one of 7 billion, so you tend to feel like, okay, you're nobody, which we are, we're nobody. But each of us will come across the path in our lives about 1,000 people, and then they will come across the lives about 1,000 people. So if you happen to say something to one of those people, then that's going to affect 1,000, and then that might affect 1,000 of the 1,000. So you're one person away from 1 million people. You're two people away from 1 billion people. You don't know what God's going to do with your words. You have not a clue. Okay, Haggai has 5 very, very short messages in 2 chapters. And a couple of those were just he and a guy talking in a room. And God had a spirit that was writing the talk down in the room. You don't think talking in a room is preaching, but that is preaching. And so you can affect a lot of people depending on God. God is the one that chooses how far to take your words. But you are the center of a network of information, and it's in a network fashion. Do not underestimate the power of your speech, especially when clothed in truth. Your capacity for speech is divine with the power of God. It is a thing that generates order from chaos. And don't ever underestimate the power of truth. In order to speak the truth, you have to let go of the outcome. Okay, if you speak the truth, you know, and with the PC movement and with things are going on, sometimes you're going to get in trouble just for saying the truth. You could say it in a nice fashion, whatever, it doesn't matter. You got to let the outcome go. As foolish, limited, and stupid as I am, I'm going to think, speak the truth, and live with the consequences no matter what. This is the element of faith. Truth brings a person into a better being. You may have to pay the price for the truth, but you're going to pay the price for everything you do or don't do. Going to. Okay, and the thing is, if you don't choose to not pay the price, you will choose the poison you're going to take. So if you stand up for truth, at least you're taking the right poison. It will shape you into a powerful person. People will object in many ways, but if you listen to their objection, it can improve your speech. If you do this for 5 years, you will be so tough and able to communicate the truth to anyone, you will become a force to contend with. Okay? It's not safe to speak, but it's less safe not to speak. If the world keeps getting their way, and they will, and the less people speak, they're going to run over us like a steamroller. And so the thing to do is stand and be who you are, or you can hide and be a serf and a miserable worm with no self-respect, no power, no ability to voice your beliefs, and have nothing left but the resentment that you did not speak. So say what you think. Say it carefully. Say it. Pay attention to your words. And truth is a cornerstone for life. Tell the truth and see what happens. Because nothing better can happen to you. There will be ups and downs, pushbacks, controversy, but it doesn't matter because the truth will win. The truth of God redeems from hell and serfdom. So we're on the winning side. Okay, and so tell the truth, or at least don't tell a lie. A lot of times, you know, Jan will say something to me, well, I lied. No, she just said something that wasn't a lie in the Bible is a purposeful falsehood. You know, we repeat a lot of things. We're not purposely lying. We may have espoused a lie. We may have been mistaken at our understanding at the time. But when we know something, make sure we don't pass on a falsehood. And we're all going to do it because we're all growing in grace. I don't agree with me a week ago. Hopefully I know a little bit more than I did a week ago. I don't agree with myself than a year ago. Hopefully I know more than I did a year ago. Okay, and the thing is, we're all growing in this information and in knowledge. And the thing, we should be growing in knowledge and learn to articulate the truth. Refuse to yield to the pressure of the world to remain silent. And so the Lord wants us, actually what he wants us to do, seek to be articulate so you shut the mouths of others. And that's not being a bully. If you would look in Titus chapter 1. We have the truth and you can display it, okay? If every Bible believer, when a Jehovah Witness knocked on their door, if every Bible believer just took a 5 or 10 minutes and kindly dispelled some of their foolishness, they will get pretty nervous about knocking on the door. But they got very few people who really challenge them. And when I say challenge them, you do it by questions and you really stump them. It's really easy to deal with Jehovah Witness, and it's kind of you know, a game. One of them said to me one time, well, do you want so-and-so to come by? And I said, who, Mark? And they said, yeah, Mark. I said, I've talked to him twice already, so. And you can't answer it? No, he can't answer it. And when I see this guy, you know, I saw him, one of the last times I saw him, he saw me, he dropped his head, kept walking. That's right, that's what I want to see, where him to be quiet about his lies. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word, as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And the way that stopped is that if you happen to be around, they're afraid you're going to ask a question that's going to stump them. So they just say, okay, I better shut up and get out of here. Amen. That's where it's supposed to be. Okay, if you would try 1 Peter chapter 8. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2. There's no 8. Go ahead and look for 8. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15, he says this, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, if that's not the news media, I don't know what is. And then it says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Okay, so the servants of God, when we can expound the truth, then people who don't have the truth or are espousing a lie, they get nervous. And they ought to be nervous. Okay, and it's not because, you know, a person's a bully or anything like that. It's just that you can simply ask a simple question, a convicting question, like the Lord did on multiple occasions, and then he stopped asking them questions. Okay, and that's what the Lord wants us to be able to do. Okay, if you would look in Acts 8. Now, this is why I'm not limiting this to the men. Because if you look at the word preacher, Okay, drop the P, and the first word you have in the word preacher is reach. You preach to reach. Then you drop the R, each. Then go to the N, each he and her, preacher. That's what the idea is. And it's not limited to men. It's really not. We tend to think, you know, it's just for the men. No, it's talking one-on-one as you're preaching. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the apostles were supposed to go out from there, but it kind of took them a while. So in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and after that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Okay, that persecution is what got the ministry going out. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling, we say hauling, that's, you know, with you, but hauling men and women, committed them to prison. So the church is made up of men and women, right? Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. Who did? Men and women. Men and women went out preaching the word. And so, you know, some folks, I came across an elderly Methodist lady in Colorado Springs. We're knocking on some doors, and there's a little Methodist church downtown Colorado Springs. I can imagine the big shots wanting to get that property so bad, downtown Colorado Springs. And it was an old Methodist church, and got talking to this lady. She was the pastor. Lady was a pastor of the church. And we got chatting about some things, and she was more of a Bible believer than most of the preachers in that town. And I said, how did you become the pastor of this church? And she said, well, my dad was a pastor and he died. And my brother took it over and he died. And so I was the only one. I said, what Bible do you use? She said, there's only one, King James. I'm going to argue with that lady. I said, how many folks you got coming? She said, don't got much, but what I got's good. And really what she did is she would go to a place, a nursing home, and find some elderly folks and bring them into church and then teach them. You know, and I'm sure the big shots in town, oh man, they were wanting to get that building so bad, get rid of this, get rid of that. But I'll tell you, I think the Lord was pleased with her. You know, men and women going everywhere preaching. So I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about using your voice for God. Okay, and every man, woman, youth, and child can be a voice for God. Okay, every one of us. There was a little girl, a little captive girl, that was a voice for God, for Naaman, and he got healed because of it. Okay, in Proverbs 28, verse 2, it says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state shall be prolonged. One person can do a lot, especially when God is the one guiding this person. And then God takes those words, his spirit takes those words, put wings on them, and then those words go out and influence people. Again, we're only one person away from a million people. Okay, and so that's what the Lord. The first one I want to look at briefly is Moses. Okay, now here's how he viewed about himself. I most certainly know my limitations. I know that I am not a good orator per se. I understand that. Adolf Hitler was a very good orator. He really was. And sometimes orators can overshadow the truth with their skill of being an orator. So we're not, when you preach the truth, I'm not here to impress. I'm here to impart. So when you walk out, you figured out, okay, I know what he was trying to get across. If you walk out saying, what did he say? Okay, if you walk away from somebody that did not understand, as soon as they walk away from the person, a little bird comes in, an unclean spirit, takes the truth out of their heart because they didn't understand. Okay, now here's how Moses felt about himself when he was beating around the bush in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to God, when God called him to be the leader of Israel, here's what he said. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Was he? I don't know. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Okay, there's the method of learning what to say. Get it from God. Okay, now here's what Stephen said about Moses in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Now, how many of you ever heard the scholars say that Moses suffered from a stroke and that's why he was slow speech? Anybody hear that one? Okay, one. Yeah, I've heard that. What's the evidence for that? I don't know. Here's what Stephen said when he's gone through the history of Israel. Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He was well educated and he knew how to speak. But in Exodus, when he's looking at himself, he said, you picked the wrong guy. And he was beaten around the bush. And then when you read through that, then the Lord gets upset with him, saying, hey, I'm the one that gave you your voice, and I'm the one that's going to tell you what to say. And he said, and for a beginner, I'll let your brother do the talking for you. But you'll notice as time went on, he just said, Aaron, I'll take care of this. He had to say it himself. So every man, woman, youth, and child can be a voice for God. Ezra chapter 7. These are some men in the Bible. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. There's a good method. Three steps there. He first wanted to learn it, then he obeyed it, and then he told other people about it. Okay, how about John the Baptist in John chapter 1:23? I like it in John chapter 1. John the Baptist was a very unique character. He would not have been welcome to the ministerial association. Some folks came up. Again, can you imagine if some people came up to a Baptist preacher nowadays and said, who are you? Well, I'm the pastor of the fast-growing church in the county. Well, I'm a graduate from Liberty University. You know? I mean, they tell you about all their qualifications. When they came to ask John the Baptist, John 1:23, all he said was, I'm the voice. That's all, I'm the voice. Got a big mouth. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that's what Elijah was too. Just a voice. Just a voice. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Just be a voice for Him. God's used different voices throughout the years, but we get the blessing if we use our voice for God. Okay, be it one person, be it your coworker, It doesn't matter, be it on a street corner, be it, you know, officially in a setting, say a Sunday school class or a school class or a preaching time. Okay, just being a voice for God. Now, if you would, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, his friend died, Uzziah. They were pretty good friends. And he had a vision of God. And of course, you know, when you get a vision of God or you see God in his real self, you look at yourself, and he said in verse 5, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips." So he saw himself as he is. And then the Lord said, I need somebody to go and say something for me. So in verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Isaiah, I want you to go say something. He just said, "Boy, I'd like somebody to go say something." Isaiah said, I'll do it. How long do you want me to do that? And then verse 9, the Lord says, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Now that's a commission he gave him. It was he was one of these. What God often would do when Israel would go down into rebellion, before judgment would come, he would send a man, a prophet in. Isaiah was one of them. Hosea was one of them, and they would stand up for God against the people. And they would tell them the truth, but the people didn't want to hear it. Now, those two verses are the most repeated verses in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Hebrews. 7 times those verses are mentioned. And sadly, that's where America's at. We're living in a day and age where people will not endure sound doctrine. That's what I'm telling you. It's a dying breed. It's a sign of judgment on our country. Okay, where it used to be in our country, okay, there was, you know, the preachers would go to a community and everybody would go. And the bars would close because the tavern owner would get saved. And you know, they didn't have to offer them a hot dog or a watermelon or anything to get them to come. They just came. You see, and there's a common saying is God helps those that help themselves. That's one thing about the church is that you have to put forth the effort to come. And God's looking at that. If we do everything for these people and they're not really putting out a sacrifice, then why would they want to stay with it? And I know there's a balance in time. You've got to help some folks to get them to start walking. Okay, another guy is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of those guys that was by himself. And how would he get motivated? Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah, strangely, uses the word pastor, plus it's plural, pastor, pastors, 8 times in Jeremiah. And the word pastors is only found 1 other time in the Bible. So you got 8 times found in Jeremiah. And you got 1 in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Jeremiah is a guy who demonstrates a pastor. Now, he's a single man. He was told to be a single man, and that's not a rule for the New Testament. But what was the driving force of Jeremiah? Jeremiah 15, verse 15. He says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors." Okay, that's an Old Testament idea. "Take me not away in the long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them." There's a good verse for spitwads, why spitwads are okay. Eat paper. And that common saying goes that, what's eating at you? If you'd have said that to Jeremiah, I'll tell you what's eating at me. It's the word of God. And so the words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the name, by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Okay, now there were times where Jeremiah got fed up. Chapter 20. Paul said that you read the Old Testament for your learning, comfort, and patience. And when you read about Paul, when he got arrested in jail, what's he doing? He's singing. I sort of kind of like Jeremiah's method. Griping. Wouldn't that be more like it? Jeremiah 20, he's in pokey. He's in a dungeon. He's in prison. And he's reaching his limit. Because you're going to have your days and your bad days. In verse 9, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. Not talking about him anymore. For his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Amen. Right in there, that's where he signed, that's where he wrote out his resignation. He said, I'm done with this stuff. Has anybody heard Ruckman explain that one on his Ad Lib commentary? You heard that one is a great one, where Jeremiah is grumbling to God, and he says, I resign. God says, okay, go ahead and resign. And then he comes up out of jail, and he sees, I'm a queer, and I love God too, you know, stuff like that. And I sees this other left-wing liberal sign, and Jeremiah, and finally he just started letting it go again. And the Lord says, I thought you weren't going to do that anymore. Well, that word was in me. And so that's really, when you run through the eight verses of Jeremiah as far as the word pastor, you'll see what a pastor is supposed to do, and sadly not what they're doing. Yeah. Jeremiah 23. Okay, this is verse 1 is one of the occurrences of the word pastors. And in verse 36, notice what he has to put up with. And the burden of the Lord shall ye not mention no more, shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God and of the Lord of hosts our God. That verse right there shows the vast majority of the techniques of preachers right there. Yeah. Okay, there's a right way of preparing a message and getting a Bible truth, and then there's a wrong way. Now, that doesn't mean the ones that do it the wrong way are wrong about everything. Okay, they might end up in the same destination, but they just took the long way around, and somebody else got the credit. When you take the Bible destination, the Bible method, the way the Spirit teaches the Bible, the way the Spirit wants us to expound the Bible, then the Bible gets admired rather than scholarship. And I'm going to go a little bit on that next week and, you know, explain how that's done. Okay, and then Jeremiah 36. This is a forbidden chapter. Okay, the rabbis do not want Jews to read Isaiah 53. Okay, that's forbidden. The Catholics do not want the Catholics to read Hebrews chapter 10. Because that's forbidden, because that's where he said he was sacrificed once for all. But you go to Christian colleges all across this country, and they're not going to talk about Jeremiah 23. Yeah. Moody Bible Institute will not discuss it. I did not hear it one time at Hiles Anderson. I didn't hear it one time at Grace College. Okay, granted, I was only at Hiles Anderson 3 years, and Grace a couple years. But they're not going to talk about Jeremiah 36 because it is how the Bible is preserved without error. Yeah. They're not going to talk about that in seminary. Not going to do it. It's forbidden because that's where our authority is. Our authority comes from this book. And is it preserved without error? They don't think so. Okay, and so when your own opinion is your final authority, you can make up anything you want. That's right. Sovereign grace. Make it up. Unconditional election. No such animal in the Bible. Irresistible grace. I read a lot of people resist grace in the Bible. It's all through there. But these people don't know these terms because they don't get it from the Bible definition. They read a dictionary. They read Strong's Concordance. They don't question the definitions in Strong, but they question this book. Yeah. Why don't they question Strong's? Do you know that guy, what that guy was like? And the crowd he ran with? They're Greek perverts. And that's what's getting the churches. Sadly, what's getting them. So in the word pastor is found 8 times by Jeremiah, once in Ephesians 4, and then in the New Testament, Paul is the apostle to Gentiles. Okay, look if you would in Job 26. The Lord said in Matthew 12 that every idle word that men shall say will give an account in the day of judgment. So, at the judgment, we're going to give an account of the words that we say. Here are 6 questions, okay? So, if you meditate on the Word of God, okay? The Lord says the man that meditates on the Word of God is successful and prosperous, meaning in His eyes. So, sometime, just get alone and ask yourself these 6 questions. And imagine yourself in front of Jesus Christ when He asks you these questions. And Job is answering Bildad of chapter 25. And Job, if you look at the Bible doctrinally, you'll pick up some of these doctrinal issues. If you don't, then you're going to miss it all. So here's a question, okay? So imagine at the judgment seat, the best that we can imagine it, and Jesus Christ asked this question: how hast thou helped him that is without power? Have you ever helped the helpless? Okay. How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? Okay, did you help somebody that had no strength? They couldn't even help themselves. Have you ever done that? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? Did you ever utter words to somebody that they had zero wisdom about the Bible, zero wisdom about God, knew nothing about God, and Jesus said, how did you counsel them? What did you say to them? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? As the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, they never one time said, thus meaneth the Lord. Yeah. A lot of guys today, this is what the Bible says, this is what it means. It means what it says. Yeah. So the question is, and how hast thou plentifully declared the thing, Bible, as it is? Oh, that verse is too offensive. I don't think I should give that. Yeah, but what if the Lord wants you to give that verse? Just as it is. Next question. And to whom hast thou uttered words? Okay, there's preaching. Who did you give the words to? Okay, but when you gave those words, next question, whose spirit came from thee? Was it my spirit? Was it an unclean spirit? Was it God's spirit? That's our 3 choices. From this mouth can come 3 spirits. Okay, when I utter words, 3 spirits can go with those words. 1 of 3 spirits. And I would pray to God, it would be the spirit of God. Okay, but those are 6 questions. Those are very convicting questions. Yeah, you know, you sit down and think about that. The judgment seat, is the Lord going to ask those? Probably is. And then He's going to point to the old book. John 12:48. That book is how He's going to judge. And so it's best. That's where you get to say, book them, Dano. There's the book. He threw the book at them. Why? Because they didn't read it. So if we spend a lot of time in that book, then we're more prepared. See, and so preparation, the preparation is where all the work's at. That's the behind-the-scenes work. That's where it's all at. And when you're in the actual delivering of it, people can know if you prepared. So it's like, you know, you practice on Monday, basketball prep Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, and a short game on Friday. Practice, short game. And that's what preaching is. You're practicing, you're studying, you're preparing, and then the game time. Then when you get old, you know, you forget practice, just go to the game. And play three games on a Saturday night. That's the way it works. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to seek to study your word so that we can give out your word to others, and that your spirit would give wings to our words and then take it as he pleases. However you please, take the words. It's an amazing thing. In this day and age, we got YouTube, internet, and a person can hear, do a little silly little video or give something truthful on those videos, and somebody on the other side of the world can learn from it. And it's amazing what you can do. I pray you'd help us to do our part in preparation, study, preparation. And the young folks, I pray you'd give them a desire. Their words mean things, and they can be a vital force for thee. In Jesus' name, amen.